welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. This week, we've been sharing a message I've entitled Sowing to the Spirit, based on Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Praise God. And sowing to the flesh is amplified in a greater degree. Paul does that in the preceding chapter, in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and he lists the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. Those who are committed, who make choices to live that way, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But as God's children, we want to please God. We want to be all that He has created us to be. And many times it helps to just step back and spend some time with the Lord and take a look at your life, your, not so much maybe what you are doing in terms of position or your station in life, because we all have various seasons, but I'm talking about the things that are within, the things relating to the soul. And many times these works of the flesh, like emulations, it means envyings or jealousy, ambition or envious rivalry. And the root meaning is to strive to equal or excel. And this involves pride. And many times a person can be compensating, trying to establish themselves in other people's eyes as competent, as superior, as whatever. They're trying to make up for needs in their own life because of perhaps the things that have occurred to them. And of course, I've shared, competition does have some positive aspects, but on an individual level, and that's what we're really looking at, it can be not a good thing. There's unexpected harmful effects at times. And so let me just share a couple of scriptures. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me," Paul says, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And also 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And so we as Christians, we have to understand we do not need to compare ourselves, compete with anyone else. We have our own walk to walk on. We are responsible for ourselves. When we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be our spouse, our friendships, our relationships. It's going to be all about us. What have we done with the life God has given us? And when we receive the healing that is needed, or perhaps we had a wonderful upbringing, and so there's the competition and vainglory and ambition, the negative things that seek to compensate one's feelings about oneself, because if you don't think you're a good person, you will compensate. And how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't really love yourself? And so we all have an image of ourselves, good or bad, whatever it might be, and it affects our behavior, our attitudes, our success in life, and our spiritual walk, most importantly. And what we were looking at yesterday, we started going through some of the serious consequences of self-rejection, of self-hatred, really, that's a strong term, or self-dislike. And this can happen in an individual, and it doesn't mean necessarily just a young person or a youth, but unless you've dealt with it, you could be way up in years. You could be elderly and still being influenced by the things that have been instilled by your parents, your upbringing, your childhood, your family, teachers or friends, relationships, life experiences. God does not, He doesn't want us to feel badly about ourselves. He wants us to feel badly about sin when we disobey Him and we fall short of the glory of God, by all means. But in terms of who we are, that's a whole nother matter. Some of the consequences of self-rejection, as I shared, the first one was depression. You can feel depressed, unhappy about appearance, your abilities, your upbringing, environment, and this resentment can turn to self-pity and then to depression. And many, many are in a situation, certainly in the world, but even among Christians, I don't know if we just hide it, but God knows what's within, deep within us. And that's why I'm sharing this message. It may not be terribly comfortable, but it does make us pause to say, okay, how do I look at myself? We know how God looks at us. He loves us. There's areas He's working on, but He finds us perfect in Him. We will be perfect. We are the handiwork of God. He doesn't create junk, beloved. And so if we reject ourselves, don't appreciate ourselves in a healthy, normal way. I'm not talking about ego or conceit. It expresses a lack of faith and trust in God. It's a rejection of how God made you. He designed you unique and individual. And you are still under, you're still on the potter's wheel, okay? He's still working and molding and fashioning us at this point until our last breath. And sometimes those who really don't feel good about themselves, there's rebellion, there's a lack of self-acceptance that will kindle a fire of rebellion toward anyone in authority. It could be hidden for years. I mean, as children, sometimes it's with parents, or you can, in fact, I've known grown men and women who had problems with authority because they're not secure in themselves. Someone secure in themselves can submit. And let's go on now. There's the fourth consequence of self-rejection is withdrawal. If you've been hurt enough, if you feel somehow because of what other people have done to you or said to you, how they've treated you, you can become super sensitive to others' attitudes toward you, and they may not even be based in truth, but basically you don't enjoy other people. You tend to withdraw. And also another danger is materialism. And some people they're unhealthily focused on things. There's an emphasis on material things. And in doing that, not that they're, we can appreciate and love what God has blessed us with, but in some, it's a desperate attempt to try to find fulfillment and happiness and love. It's basically a distraction. If you can keep busy enough, if you can be involved in stuff and people enough, and you can do that even with schedules. If you keep busy enough, you can just sort of forget about your issues. Well, that might work for a time, but God wants us. He wants to heal us on a deep level. He wants to heal our souls. And then another consequence of self-rejection, six, is negativism. You may have it yourself, or you've known people that have a failure complex, born to lose. You know, nothing ever works out for me. The past seems to be an amalgamation of failures, of affronts, of insults and abuse to which you've been subjected. And since the subconscious mind tends to bring to fulfillment whatever we imagine, our imagination is a very powerful tool that we have, can be used for good or bad. But if we're constantly thinking negative things, such thinking, especially bad things about ourselves, well, they must be right. This is just how I am. I'm just no good. That inevitably produces failure, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And God certainly does not want us to be involved in that. He wants us, our attitudes about ourselves should be formed by the Word of God, how He sees us, not how others estimate you or evaluate you or what they say about you, how they treat you. You have one person you're responsible for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you are being responsible to Him, then you also will be responsible in the key areas and relationships of your life. If you're married, if you are a parent, if you're a child, if you're just a young person still at home, as for God, His way is perfect. He just never fails. He's got the right answer for all of us. We may not fully understand or know it, but trust me, His word is true. Praise God. All right, let's move on to the last two I want to share with you. Seven is imitating others. Not only comparing ourselves with others, but to try to be like them. We see this especially prevalent with young people. You just try to discover your personal identity, especially as a teenager, for example, and you're really identifying with the group. You want to be cool like, you know, this person is or that person is. And if you identify with their good traits, with their popularity, thereby you erase a sense of personal inferiority. And also, finally, it limits a bad self-image, limits your personal destiny in God. And this is the most serious. God has a plan for every life. And maximum happiness and fulfillment comes in going forward in the plan that He has for you. If anyone chooses to reject themselves, they're not only refraining from using their natural giftings and talents, but they hinder God's miraculous power in their life. They short-circuit the power of God by unbelief. Well, there's so much more I can say, but my time has just flown, and we'll continue and summarize all these thoughts on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. I thank you for your prayer support. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write, share those needs. I personally pray for you and answer your mail directly, whether it's an email, I'll confirm receipt, or if you write a letter and share your address, I'll get back with you in a personal letter. Thank you for joining me. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.